You have your Bibles with you. Would you turn with me in them to Exodus 33? Exodus 33, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. Exodus 33, 1 through 23. And God's people, in Exodus 33, verse 1, these are God's infallible words. They cannot err, so they do not err. They are perfect, and so give your attention to them. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And those are God's words. Last Lord's Day, you remember that we heard of the great and grievous sin of Israel making the golden calf in which they worshipped that golden calf and called the calf Jehovah. And here Moses, as mediator, brings a message from the Lord to humble Israel through verse 6, where he states that he will not go up among Israel, because if he did, they would die. And while that is, as we think of being separated from God, there is no greater hell than that, to be separated from the Lord. And that's why they mourned here. There's no greater chastisement than being separated from Jehovah and Christ. And yet, we also see here a great mercy, because he could have just sent them and killed them and shoved them down into hell. And yet he did not do that. He shows mercy to them. And Moses then, through verse 11, sets up a tent, and not the tabernacle of meeting that we've been talking about before, but another tent outside the camp of Israel. And here the Lord met with Moses in this tent, his presence settling down in that cloudy pillar, and the people outside the tent. And yes, the Lord had taken his presence away, and yet, in his grace, allows them to come somewhat near to his presence as Moses met with Jehovah face to face, it says. And when we come to the Word, when we come to worship, it is there where we come closer to the Lord, to his presence. To have that unhindered communication and relationship, and to see face to face. And one day we will have that relationship, we'll have that communication perfectly. And yet here, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we have it dimly. We have it dimly. And then through the end of the chapter, Moses prays to the Lord for Israel. He prays to the Lord for himself, that the Lord would also manifest his presence amongst Israel again. The Lord says he will, by his grace. And that Moses also would be able to see the Lord's glory. And so Moses is allowed to see a glimpse. The Lord promises that he'll see a glimpse of the glory of Jehovah, and yet not seeing the Lord himself, since he, Jehovah, is a spirit. And with the coming of Christ, remember John 1 in reference to this passage, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christian, the believer in Christ, does not behold the full glory of God. But Christian, you can see the glory of God as manifested in the flesh in Jesus Christ, and expounded and proclaimed and declared in his Word. The full nature of God is beyond sight and comprehension. And yet what Jesus does is reveal as much as of the divine nature as man can see and receive. This as the glory of God foreshadowed here to Moses. And so, beloved, here we are called to turn to Jesus Christ and behold, as much as we're able on this earth, to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so seek his face, and he will not cast you away from him. What did Israel do in the last chapter? They sought after a golden calf. And they lost, for a time, the presence, the manifested presence of the Lord. But you seek his face, and he will not cast you away from his presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come seeking your face now. As we draw near to the throne of grace, as we just prayed it, through the blood of Christ and by the strengthening of the Holy Spirit who lifts up our hearts unto you. And Father, just as Israel has sinned and gone after her idols and the golden calf, so have we. We have gone after this world and the things of the world and the loves of the world and the lusts of the flesh. And we have sought them out more and above seeking you out. And so we have taken upon ourselves idols and worshipped false things and false gods, even at times worshipping ourselves, making ourselves idols. Just as we heard in Sabbath school, in the bondage of the flesh, where we think that we're in charge, that we're the captain of the ship, but we are not. We are wholly dependent upon you, Father, and upon your Son to save us and to sanctify us, and for your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray and plead with you that though we have sinned against you and we have worshipped other gods, Father, turn us to yourself alone in Christ your Son, from our idols, from our past sins, in which we know that you are the God who can cleanse us, who can make us clean. And Father, we're thankful that as you are the God who does make us clean in Christ alone, by your word and by your Spirit, that as you have shown mercy and you shower us with your grace, that you are a God who will bring us home. We are strangers and aliens in this earth, and yet we have a great hope that you will bring us home and you will perfect us in our souls, and we will be glorified in Christ your Son. Even if we endure, you say that we will reign with him, as he is the King who reigns over all kingdoms and over all nations, who is head of the church, for which we come today and exalt in his name alone. Jesus, your Son, and our Savior, Redeemer, and our Lord. Father, again we pray that you would forgive us of our sins and receive us for Christ's sake. Receive us in his name. Receive us by his sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead. We're thankful that he is not dead, but he lives ever to make intercession for us, who pleads for us, even now who prays for us, and who perfects our worship, who perfects this prayer that we offer to you, in which you answer and respond yes and amen, because it is your Son's perfect prayer. And so, Father, we pray that you would hear us for Christ's sake and answer our petitions for his name and his glory, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, we do pray. We pray for our children. We're thankful for the lives of these children you've given here amongst us. And we're thankful to hear their cries and their speaking and singing the psalms, your praises to you, of which you long to hear the children sing as you teach us in the Gospels, as Jesus taught us. And Father, we're thankful for those in the womb. And pray that you would be with those mothers who are about to give birth soon, Lord willing. And pray for Michelle and Marissa. You would grant to them strength, and especially Michelle in the coming weeks as she will labor, Lord willing, and pray that you would give her strength and the baby strength, and bring that baby safely, as well as Jake and Marissa's baby, Wendelin, and grant good health. But above all things, Father, as we always pray, we pray for their souls, even now. You would turn them to yourself and grant them life in Christ your Son. We pray this for all of our children and all those who have gone off, and you would call them to yourself and cause them to turn from their sins and see the light, the marvelous light of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for any here who don't know you. You would turn them from their dark path and slavery to sin and the guilt that is upon them. And you would cause them to turn by your Spirit. Give them the gift of faith and turn them to Christ your Son from their sins, the only Savior who can save them from their sins and their guilt and their bondage, and reconcile them with you, Father, that they would have peace with God, and we would give praises to you. And Father, we pray for our children, and even now we do pray for their future spouses, and you would raise up a spouse for each of them at the right time, and you would grant godly marriages, as well as the marriages already existing today. And you would strengthen husbands and wives to love each other. That husbands would sacrifice and love their wives and sanctify them with the Word. And that wives would submit and love their husbands and respect them. And humble themselves so that our marriages would show forth that great picture of Christ and the church. Christ, our great husband, the bridegroom, and we, the church, the bride. And Father, we pray that you would purify and wash the bride with the pure milk of the Word. But not only milk, the meat of the Word. And so grant us that today, even as we study of one of your sacraments. Help us and shine a light in the dark recesses of our hearts and minds to sanctify our worship. And your name would be praised all the more. Our Father, we do pray for Jake and Marissa, that you would help that their heat would be fixed soon. And Father, we pray that you would grant safety to them in the cold weather. And often we take those little things in our homes, beds, a roof over our heads, and heat, we take that for granted. And yet, Father, we're thankful for them when we have them. And we often do have them. And we find that you're often always the gracious God who gives us what we don't deserve. And the reality is that we deserve to freeze to death. That we deserve to burn to death. And to be cursed forever because of our sins. And yet in Christ you grant us these graces, even these blessings in our physical lives. And so we praise you. We do pray that you would Keep healing Jeannie and Patricia and Dina and any others who are sick today, much of the Nichols family sick today, and pray that you would uphold your people. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. And so make us to be those who love to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our children, to our family, to our friends, that your elect would be brought in and your name would be exalted as high as the heavens are above the earth, to show forth your great mercy and grace in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.